to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Well, I'm going to start out talking about last night's show because I got a couple people saying it, that listened to the show in Denver that I teased a couple topics on the show and we didn't get to them until after the first half hour. And they wanted to know what I was talking about, and especially the reply to the atheist, the ongoing atheist debate that Doug McBurney and I have been going after Mark Smothers. He's a local Denver area atheist. So I'll recap our reply to his reply to our reply to his reply to our reply, where he doesn't believe in God, and we say the evidence for God is clear and compelling. Also, the three observations I've had about the Olympics so far. So we'll repeat that in the first half hour of the show. It's only 1 minute. And then the title of last night's show, just we've gotten some good input about the title. Now, those of you who tune in on Friday night, you hear Doug McBurney co-hosting with me. And Doug used to work at his day job with the Nose Ring Girl, and we talked about her for some time on kgov.com and over Bob and Yurt Live on Information Radio Network and a few stations around the country. And yesterday, there was a report out of the Denver media that a Denver area man was killed by an 11-foot python, a Burmese python. And we had emails and calls, people wanting to know if the snake guy was dead. And so the title of last night's show on the internet at kgov.com is The Snake Man Liveth. The Snake Man Liveth. At least for now. The Snake Man is alive for now, right? And then with the Olympics. Now, last night we just had a couple minor thoughts and we'll expand on the one about the French judge tonight. But I've seen a total of about 10 minutes of the Olympics. And no wonder these games, they really demand an audience. I've learned things and seen things I've never imagined before. Like for one, there's a woman named Peekaboo Street, and that's not the name of a character on the Powderpuff Girls. That's a real person. Peekaboo Street. And two, I always thought that women's curling was done with a hot iron plugged into the wall called a curling iron. And now it turns out that women's curling has more to do with the broom and sweeping the floor. And it must be a cross between shuffleboard and bowling, I guess, on ice. Now, is it written anywhere that we have to respect all sports? Do you have to respect all sports? I don't think so, right? It's not in the Bible. Is that a real sport or what? Curling? Come on! It looks like they take a teapot, fill it with lead, push it down the ice, and they sweep the ice in front of it. Two people sweeping like maniacs in front of a teapot being thrown down the ice. What kind of a sport is this? It's too weird. It's just too weird. All we need now is a women's curling channel on some cable network, 24-hour women's curling. And then this is the big news, the pairs figure skating, it's brutal. And it turns out that the French once again have capitulated to the left, this time submitting to the will of Russia, but they're going to get something back because the French, well, unless you've been in a cave with Osama bin Laden for the last few days, you know what happened. The gold medal in pair figure skating has been stolen from Canada, and it's gone to Russia. For how many years in a row now has Russia won the pair figure skating, the gold? 11, right? I'm asking the studio audience. That's a consensus. 11 years in a row. And this year, they just didn't do a good enough job. I mean, the pair, the guy and the gal, the guy just absolutely blew it. And needed points deducted. I mean, he just blew it. It was obvious to even an amateur. and he didn't get any points deducted, and they won when they shouldn't have won, and Canada should have gotten the gold. So what should happen? Well, this is what should happen. The votes from the Russian and the French judges should be thrown out. The results should be retallied and the gold given to Canada. Also, there's an event coming up beginning Friday going over the weekend to ice dancing. And the Russians are going to judge. They've got a judge in the ice dancing competition. And they're the ones who cut the deal with the French. You vote for us in the pair figure skating, we'll vote for you in the ice dancing. Now, that's according to the referee of the event. The figure skating referee is an American. And he said he went to, in a routine meeting the following morning, the French judge said to him that she was pressured by the French Figure Skating Association to vote for the Russian so that the Russian will vote for them. So it was fixed. It was fixed. And so the Russian and French judges should be disqualified. Of course, they shouldn't judge this weekend. And you know, the Olympics, they're going to let them judge. They're going to let the Russian judge judge, even though they fixed the deal. And the French should be disqualified for judging in the next decade of Olympic Games. The French should. And the gold medal should go to the Canadians. They did a great job anyway. Well, of course, to earn the gold, they did a great job. So, all right, now. Okay. Now, I want to briefly, is it possible to do this briefly, to summarize the reply to the atheist? Oh, before I do that, President Bush is filling another government post at the FCC, you know, the Federal Communication Commission. They oversee the use of the nation's airwaves for radio and television and other bandwidths for other things like your garage door opener. But there's an opening on the commission, the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, and Bush has to appoint someone to the FCC. And apparently he's naming John Adelstein to the FCC. Now guess who John Adelstein is? He is an aide for Senator Tom Daschle, one of the most liberal men on Capitol Hill. Tom Daschle, you know, the arch enemy of conservatives, and one of his aides, Bush, is putting on the FCC. We'll be right back.
Some people believe that Christians can speak in tongues. Some people believe that speaking in tongues has passed away. Are we saved by grace alone, or are there works involved? Some people believe that miracles are happening today. Others don't. How can all these disagreements come from the Bible if it's the inspired Word of God? Is there an answer to all these questions? In his book, The Plot, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, shows you the one Bible verse that solves all the apparent contradictions. Think that one verse can't solve these complex problems? Get The Plot today, and if you're not convinced, we will refund your money. Order The Plot for $29.95. Does God want the government to execute criminals? The Old Testament supports the death penalty, but now we are to turn the other cheek, right? The New Testament material concerning the death penalty starts in Matthew and continues through all the Gospels, Acts and Romans. It goes all through to Revelation. God and the Death Penalty is the video we've produced to arm you with the New Testament support for executing criminals. If the death penalty is immoral, then what does that say of God the Father demanding that Jesus Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? God and the Death Penalty, a two-hour video exploring the biblical support of the death penalty, is available for $24.95 by calling 1-888-8-ENYART. Bob Enyart Live is back on the air, but to stay on the air and grow, we need to hear from you. We offer many products with Bob's insightful and unique biblical perspective. If you appreciate Bob's ministry, let us know by writing us at Bob Benyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado 80001, or go online to kgov.com.
We are back, Bob Benyart Live, 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Okay, so we got another email from a Denver area atheist. And I have a question for those in the audience. I asked this atheist over the air if he's an honest atheist, meaning if he saw evidence for God, would he honestly consider it? And if it was compelling, would he put his faith in God? And he said he's an honest atheist. And an honest atheist should be able to hear an argument and then respond to it. And Mark Smothers has, now this is his third opportunity to get the argument straight, because he keeps responding, but he, for some reason, is in, he's been so far incapable of responding to the argument. He keeps misstating the argument. So we have one piece of evidence, a second piece of evidence, and a conclusion that God exists. And he can't seem to get those. He took that argument, one piece of evidence, a second piece of evidence, and a conclusion we deduce from the first two, that God exists. And when he puts it in his email reply, he's got four instead of three. And our number two, he doesn't have. And his number three is our number three, but it's wrong. So I'm going to state it again for the sake of Mark and any other atheist out there listening. Here's one of our arguments, our proofs for the existence of a supernatural creator. Okay? Here's number one. A rock cannot make itself out of nothing. A fire cannot burn forever. Therefore, the universe must have a supernatural creator. Now, let me state those again. One, a rock cannot make itself out of nothing. The universe could not have made itself out of nothing. That's irrational, unscientific. It goes against the laws of physics. The universe cannot make itself out of nothing. That's number one. Number two, a fire cannot burn forever. That's the second law of physics. Increase in entropy. You use up available fuel, and it's no longer available to do the same work. So the stars cannot burn forever. Eventually, our sun will burn out, which is proof for us that the sun has not always been here. Some ignorant ancients might have thought, well, you know, maybe the sun has always been here, and the earth has always been here, and it was never brought into existence. It's always been here. And we know, either people who've read the Bible all along, or people who had a logical mind, or people benefiting from modern science, could know, no, the sun has not always been here, because it would have burned out by now. So the sun, just like the entire universe, cannot make itself from nothing. A fire cannot burn forever, so the sun could not have always been here. And these are based on the physical laws of science, the natural laws of the physical universe. So based on those two, we conclude, we make a conclusion, we deduce from those two pieces of evidence, we deduce that a supernatural creator must exist. Something or someone outside of the physical universe had to create the universe. And when Mark Smothers tries to say, okay, here's the argument, and he has it in four instead of three, and his number three is therefore someone, and no, we don't say someone, we say something. At this point in the argument, we haven't proved it's the God of the Bible. We have just concluded that there must be a supernatural, a creator that's outside of the natural universe and not subject to the laws of the natural universe. So we conclude, therefore, that a supernatural creator must have brought the universe into existence. And in his email, Mark Smothers, the Denver area atheist, says, that's one theory. Well, then, Mark, give us another. Give us another. If there's any others, give them to us. We're interested. Okay, and so then he says this. He says, and by the way, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. If there's an atheist who thinks that the evidence for God is not compelling, I would like to know, in what way is it not compelling? Where is it weak? Where does it not hold up? So Mark Smothers in his email said, Bob's argument is the same as me saying I have an invisible unicorn in my basement. It cannot be measured, seen, or felt, but I know through faith that she exists. So he says the invisible unicorn statement can neither be proved or disproved. All right, after all, how can you disprove something that cannot be measured? Kind of like Bob's imaginary God. Bob's imaginary God. All right. So, well, there, the argument that I am giving can be tested. It can be tested physically. You can test the laws of physics. And scientists have conducted how many tests to attempt to establish the validity of the first law of thermodynamics, that matter cannot be created nor destroyed? How many have tried to establish that? Under the laws of physics in the natural universe, matter can be neither created nor destroyed, matter nor energy. They can be transferred from one to the other, but they can't be created nor destroyed. Tens of thousands of experiments, hundreds of thousands. It's the foundation of all science. It's what differentiates science from magic. That matter cannot be created nor destroyed. Number two, that a fire cannot burn forever. The increase in entropy. That has been tested thousands of times in laboratories, tens of thousands of times, by physicists and professors and all over the world. In universities, labs, these are two of the most well-established laws of physics. So I don't think that any atheist could come up with overarching laws of physics that lead to the conclusion that there's an invisible unicorn in Mark Smother's basement. I don't think he could go to a science textbook and take two laws of science and show them to any number of people and say, now, is this a reasonable conclusion here? Based on, say, the law of gravity and the law of, let's say, the conservation of angular momentum. Based on those two laws, I conclude that there's an invisible unicorn in my basement. Well, you go to the loony bin. You're a nutcase. You can't make that argument, Mark. So my argument is not the same as you saying there's an invisible unicorn in your basement. And this is where I think you move from the, we don't know if Mark is the honest or a dishonest atheist. This is where he moves into the dishonest camp. He's dishonest. There's something in his will. He is determined to reject a supernatural creator for whatever reason. For whatever psychological reason, he's afraid. He doesn't want to have any obligation to a God. He doesn't want to have to defend his life. He wants to be God if there is a God. I don't know what it is. But at this point, now, we're about a million miles away from proving the God of the Bible exists. At this point in the argument, we're only proving that a supernatural creator exists. And so now I have enough information to, I have two possibilities regarding Mark Smothers, the Denver atheist. Either that he's dishonest or that he lacks intelligence, that he's unintelligent, that he truly doesn't have the IQ to think through a simple argument. So which is it? I'd like to know which it is. Is it that Mark Smothers, the atheist, is stupid? Or is he a liar? Is he dishonest? And I've met him. I met him on one occasion at the Capitol, at the March for Life. And he was, if I recall, he was with one of his kids, real neat kid. It's too bad this little child is not learning about God from his father, but what a neat kid. And he didn't seem to have the IQ of a moron. He didn't seem to not be able to string together sentences and understand how to use subjects and verbs. So I assume that he has a sufficient enough IQ to see the difference between my argument and his invisible unicorn argument. So refute this, Mark. It's not 4 points. It's not 4 points leaving out one or two and changing one or two. It's three simple arguments. Or it's a three-step argument. One, a rock cannot make itself out of nothing. Two, and you usually miss this, Mark, a fire cannot burn forever. Three, therefore, the universe must have a supernatural creator because there's no other logical way for it to have gotten here. And we deduce that logically based on the first two laws of science. So is that clear enough for Mark, do you think? Mark, and if you ever choose to email us again, we'll see if you have the intellectual honesty to be able to repeat the argument in those three steps and then point out where the logic is weak, where it's weak. We'd like to know. Okay, so that's about as short as I can make it. I did get a call last night on the show asking this question. The caller didn't want to come on the air. He relayed it through our call screener. He said, the Bible states that sinners cannot understand without the Holy Spirit. So why do you try to convince an atheist? Right? That's the question, right? Here I'm reading it. I'm showing it to the studio audience right now. The Bible says that sinners cannot understand without the Holy Spirit. So why do you try to convince an atheist that God exists? Wow, I never thought of that. You know what? This is going to save me a lot of time in life. I could stop evangelizing. There's no way. There's no reason to tell people about Jesus Christ, that God exists, because they don't have the Holy Spirit and they can't understand. So why waste my breath? Wow, I wish I would have realized this back in 1973 when I became a Christian. I wouldn't have had to talk to all the hundreds of people I talked to about God. I could have saved my breath. Because my brother Brian, he didn't believe in God. Why talk to him? Why talk to my dad? Why tell my dad that evolution is not true? He didn't believe in God. Why should I have done that? Think of all the energy I could have saved, the emotional energy, just the time it took to talk to them. Well, of course, they became Christians, but hey, so what? I mean, if they can't understand without the Holy Spirit, I wonder how many people have become Christians through Bob Enyart Live. How many have told us that it's our standing for the evidence for God that has brought them to salvation? How many? You know what? It's a lot. A lot of people. But some Christians don't like to hear that. I wonder why. Bye, Denver.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Yeah, you must be them Enyart people! Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So This is George from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart, so if you could give me a buzz. My name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Fluently Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check my
box. Welcome back, Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. In a moment, we'll go to a surprise studio audience guest. We've got someone here that we're going to mic up. But first, I'm going to the phones, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. And in Shipshewana, Indiana, Daryl, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Daryl. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Hey, I just wanted to make a point that while we do need the Holy Spirit to understand a lot of spiritual truths,
right?
Atheists don't have to be saved to understand a basic scientific argument.
Well, that's a good point. A lot of atheists are scientists, right?
Right.
And they get in there, let's say, in the genetic code of some species, and they make some modifications and cure disease.
Absolutely.
Maybe someday do away with sickle cell anemia that black children are born with and suffer from.
Right.
So, and God is the one who designed the genetic code. So how is it that an atheist can understand such a complex thing enough to fix something that's gone wrong in it? But they could. God has given them an intellect.
Right.
And a conscience. And, you know, in Romans 1, Daryl, Romans 1 says that they knew God, but they tend to reject him and they worship the creation rather than the creator.
Right.
So they knew God. And then Paul says that the evidence for God is clearly shown, that God has clearly shown it to them, and that God is eternal and all-powerful and a person. And that's in Romans 1, and we can find that elsewhere too.
Yeah, so, I think the whole point you were making to the atheist guy, I think most scientists, if they're truthful with themselves, we'll conclude that, well, what you said about the first law and the second law is absolutely true.
Yeah, and it seems that most scientists in the surveys I've seen over the years are theists. Most scientists believe in God. And I know that the Creation Research Institute, what's the creation science? There's an organization on the web, a society of creation scientists. You could find it if you go to answersingenesis.com. But they have hundreds of degreed scientists who are against evolution and procreation.
right?
Of course there are. But, you know, Daryl, there are Christians who call themselves presuppositionalists.
Oh, yeah?
You know about these guys?
No.
They are adamant. They get angry if they hear somebody trying to convince an atheist that God exists. They get angry because they believe that you can't become a Christian unless you already assume that the Bible is the Word of God.
Oh.
They think you cannot become a Christian unless you assume, you presuppose that the Bible is the revealed will of God. And that argument fails in a number of ways, one of which, the Bible wasn't always here.
Absolutely.
We didn't always have the Bible. And two, so many people, I'm thinking of one now, the guy who's going to preach at Denver Bible Church this Sunday. I'm going to be in Nashville, Tennessee at a broadcasting convention. And this guy is a local cop. He's a Denver area cop named Gordon Carroll. And Gordon would tune into Bob and Your Live on TV, and he heard the scientific arguments, and he found them compelling, and that evolution was false. And he was an atheist. That evolution was false, and that the evidence shows that God exists. And he was honest. He was an honest atheist. And he said, you know, I never considered that evidence before. Not only did he become a Christian, but he's brought many others to the Lord. And we heard that story countless times from people around the country and even outside of the country. So thank you very much, Daryl, for calling in.
Thank you.
God bless you. I appreciate the encouragement. Now I'm going to go to Honolulu, Hawaii. How could we get a call that far from Honolulu on a cell phone? Jason, speak your mind.
Aloha, Bob.
Aloha, Jason. Shaka, how are you?
Shaka, I was one of those, I disproved the presuppositionists or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
Because.
Hey, Jason, I'm going to ask you to speak up. You're on a cell phone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're having a bit of a hard time, but go ahead.
I thought the Bible was worth about as much as Earth in the Balance by Alan.
Oh, now we are having trouble, but I'm getting your message through, and I'll repeat it for the audience. You said you want to dispute those presuppositionalists because you thought the Bible was worth about as much as Al Gore's ignorant book, The Earth in the Balance, and then what?
Well, I watched your show, and it was evolution. That's what challenged my worldview right to the crux of it.
Really?
And it was your show, and my taking the initiative to check my premises and yours that led me to the truth of Jesus Christ.
Wow. And Jason, now you're a Christian.
Now I'm a Christian.
You believe in Jesus Christ, that he died and rose from the dead.
I sure do.
And that by his shed blood, your sins have been forgiven.
Definitely.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, Jason, I'm so thrilled you called in like this spontaneously, because we have heard from people for 10 years that Bob and Your Live has been on, that especially people that are more interested in science. Mm-hmm. And they said, that's what attracted me to the show. You give the evidence that God exists, that evolution can't be true, and then I have to reconsider. And then those people have gotten saved, and their testimony is, that's what got me.
Yeah, and I enrolled in classes on evolution. I was in college at the time. And then I would pose questions to them, and they couldn't, and my professors couldn't answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the real reason I was calling, Bob,
yeah,
is I was listening to another radio show today, and an editor from the Rocky Mountain News, and I didn't get his name, but he wrote a book called Christianity on Trial.
Yeah.
But he didn't seem like much of a Christian to me, and I thought you might have the skinny on this guy in this book.
Oh, wow. I don't know anything about it. Christianity on Trial.
Mm-hmm. He didn't seem to be.
Yeah, right. I understand. We'll look into it. Rocky Mountain News editor. All right,
yeah,
and
can I say the name of the show I heard it on?
Sure.
He was on the Savage Show.
Hey, Michael Savage. Michael Savage. Mm-hmm. All right.
And,
now Mike Savage, he's a Jew out of San Francisco. He's got a pretty successful radio show. He's rather, and we're gonna. We got to say goodbye, Jason, because of the call, because of the quality of the call. But Mike Savage he's not a Christian, but he's against homosexuality, mainly because he works in San Francisco, And he's against abortion, as best I could tell. And he's against socialism. So, you know, he tends to be conservative on more issues than, let's say, somebody like Aurelio Riley. So we'll check into this and see what the book was all about. All right. Now I'm going to go to my guest in studio. And this is a report straight from Salt Lake City, the 2002 Winter Olympics in Utah. All the world is watching. And, of course, if you're a local in Utah, it's big news. And I have here, just back from Utah, Jason Troyer. Jason, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, Bob. We had a fabulous time. A lot of pro-life activists were there for the first week of the Olympics. And we're going to have another group of pro-lifers show up for the second week of the Olympics. So I just returned home last night, and I was so excited I had to come over to the studio
Good.
And talk to you about all the fun that we had.
Well, and the point of pro-lifers going to the Olympics is there's a lot of people gathered together. When a lot of people are gathered, you could get your message, don't kill kids, show them that these unborn are babies. You could get your message to a lot of people.
Exactly. We weren't
So naive. Did you see anybody when you were there?
There were a few people there, absolutely.
There were. Okay, good. Glad to hear.
I went with a couple that you know very well, Ken and Joe Scott.
They made the papers here.
I heard that. I just heard that on when I came back and was talking to you right before the
show.
Yeah,
I think it was the Rocky Mountain News reported on a meal they had at a Denny's, and they even printed what the tip was. That they gave a good, you know, an average size tip.
Now, from what I got from Ken and Joe, I wasn't with them at that lunch. I was off doing something else.
Yeah.
But they told me about it right afterwards because they always have an exciting lunch.
Yeah.
And I was with them at a Chinese restaurant later on that week when five cops showed up.
Oh, really?
So I know how exciting lunch can be
well,
with Ken and Joe
well,
Scott.
Well, let's tell those in the audience who didn't get to read the Rocky Mountain News story that Ken and Joe went to, I think it was a Denny's or something.
It was a Village Inn,
I believe. And boy, I have an episode at a Village Inn with a homosexual manager one time. But they went to a Village Inn, and they have their van outside that's plastered with pictures of aborted babies.
Very graphic, showing the truth of what abortion
is. The truth, don't kill kids.
Absolutely.
And so their food had just come. And the manager came over and said, is that your vehicle out there? Well, we don't want to take a side in this. We're getting complaints. We'd like you to leave.
No, that's not what they said.
Okay.
We're not taking sides in this at all. That the person that came over and talked to
them. That's what we got out of the Rocky Mountain News.
Well, of course, that is.
The snooze.
Yeah. Well, what I got from Ken and Joe is as a waitress or manager came over and was very upset and said, you have to leave right now. If you leave that van outside of our store or our restaurant, that means we advocate what you're saying. And of course, Joe Scott was irate and said, if that's the truth, then you can never have a UPS truck parked in front of your restaurant.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christ-like, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. and always easy to understand and clear-thinking Pastor Bob Enyart rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
Six lanes across.
We are back. Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. And for the benefit of those around the country, Ken and Joe said, well, we'll leave if we don't have to pay for our food. And what did the owners say?
No, you have to leave right now. You have to pay.
You have to pay and you have to leave. And they said, well, we're not going to pay and leave. If we have to pay, we'll finish, we'll eat our food. And they ate their food and then they left.
Exactly.
And the Rocky Mountain News even pointed, they reported that they left an average size tip.
Which the Rocky Mountain News is trying to point out or trying to imply that they're cheapskates. But Ken and Joe give all this grief just trying to eat lunch, and they still leave a tip.
I know, but the reason the reporter asked, I know this has been done to me by reporters. The reason they asked was they're hoping that they stiffed them so that they could put that they stiffed the waitress.
Exactly.
But then they found out they left an average tip, and you need so much material to write a story. It's a pretty short story, so they had to put the tip stuff in there anyway, even though it didn't do what they hoped it would do.
Yeah.
What idiots.
But one of the stories I wanted to tell you was the very first night we arrived in Salt Lake City, there was a church that was hosting us in one of the suburbs, so we checked in there, made sure everything was okay, and there was no scheduled events until the next day. So we decided to go into Salt Lake City just to look at the city.
Yeah.
It's Olympics, it's decorated wonderfully, and we wanted to check out where to protest, all this stuff.
Yeah.
So we're driving down the road, and we see this box truck with video screens on it. And it was a truck from the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA.
So PETA had a protest. You guys had a protest van with pictures, but they had video panels.
They had video panels.
On the outside.
On the front, the back, both sides.
Advertisements for Ruth Chris Steakhouse? What were they running on there?
No, they were running rodeo footage and how cruel and mean it is to be a part of the rodeo. So not passing up an opportunity like this just to upset PETA. That's all we thought we were going to do, was just upset PETA. So we did a U-turn in the middle of the street, and we actually
went after the PETA truck.
We cut PETA off and got in front of them.
Well, you didn't break a law or anything.
Well, no.
No. But so you got in front of PETA's truck.
Exactly. They were moving 2 miles an hour. And
why were they driving so slow?
What we realized later on was that we were in, as the Olympic torch goes across the country, people come out and watch the Olympic torch. It's a very exciting thing.
Right.
Well, the Olympic torch was coming in that night into Salt Lake City.
Right.
And we were a part of the Olympic torch parade.
Come on, Jason. No way. Are you serious?
For 2 hours and 15 minutes, we drove 2 miles an hour, 4 feet away from people. We never get this close.
Lord. Praise the Lord. With Ken and Joe's van?
With Ken and Joe's van.
This story beats virtually any story we've ever had of protesting.
Both sides of the streets were packed.
Lined with people.
We estimated.
I could picture it.
We estimated that we passed 22 to 25,000 people. And of course,
two
press,
miles an hour.
2 miles an
and
hour.
And the media.
And
the PETA truck was right behind you guys.
The funny thing was, the PETA truck was right behind us because we kind of got in front of them, which they didn't like.
Right.
And then to distance themselves from us, they started going
they
even slower.
They slowed down, right?
They were half a block behind us.
Right.
And what we realized was the parade that we were in, we weren't actually with the torch, but we were with the truck that was getting the crowd excited.
For the torch.
Exactly.
The preparation.
So the first truck had a megaphone, and they were saying, get ready, the torch is coming. So the people were out of their
seats. The torch.
The people were out of their seats, and they were cheering.
Yeah.
And then they had a Coca-Cola truck throwing free T-shirts, and the crowd was getting all excited. And then they see us, and it all just died.
Must have been unbelievable.
It was like if you've ever been to a big football or baseball game and they do the wave.
Right.
It's and then, just at the tail end of the wave. The people stand up and they're cheering for the loudspeaker truck. And then they see us and they're just stunned at the pictures.
Right.
And I had my video camera pointed out the window just to discourage people from throwing things at us. They still threw a few things at us, but they were ready for the torch. They were all excited, ready to go. They weren't thinking that they were going to get mad or disgusted or anything that night.
Right.
So they weren't prepared for us. So we caught them off guard the first night, and after the 2 hours and 15 minutes going through Salt Lake City, we looked at each other and said, well, we can go home.
You guys, that's about it. You're done.
That's the best. We'll, if we do any better than this the rest of the week, I mean, it was just mind-boggling how well the first
you'd
night.
You'd have to be on NBC primetime
and
behind the figure skaters.
It was
to
just
do better than that.
It was amazing.
That was great.
The only better thing was if we got lost and we were actually allowed to take the van into the opening ceremonies with the athletes as they were coming in with their flags. Mm-hmm. That's the only way we could have got more press coverage.
Right.
And that was just the start of the week. It was just amazing.
So then tell me, so you were there for how long?
Well, that night we were driving around the city for 2 hours and 15 minutes. Of course, by the end of the parade, we had no idea where we were at because we were just new to town.
Yeah, right.
So we had to find.
How many days were you there?
Oh, you know, and I wrote all this down because it was just became a blur after a while.
Yeah.
You had to ask yourself, what day is it?
Right.
We got there Thursday night, and that was when we went through the parade. And we left Wednesday. What's today?
So you were on. Today is Wednesday.
Okay, then we left Tuesday afternoon about 1:15.
All right.
And it's still
so
a blur.
So you were there for 5 days. What other event happened to you guys? Or what else did you do of interest?
Well, an amazing thing was we actually had a chance to speak to the mayor of the city.
Mm.
We went to the mayor's office to ask for a...
Is that Park City or Salt Lake City?
That was Salt Lake City.
Okay.
We went to the mayor's office to ask for an appointment because Planned Parenthood, in association with the Red Cross and in conjunction with the Salt Lake Organizing Committee, all gave out these free safe sex packets.
Great. Planned Parenthood, part of the Olympics.
As well.
And you know, they won't let the Boy Scouts in uniform participate as they have in years past.
It's amazing.
The Boy Scouts are not allowed to participate, and we know why.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't allow homosexual scoutmasters to molest the kids. But they have Planned Parenthood, the world's leading abortion provider,
teamed up with the American Red Cross.
Perfect.
To hand out.
And that
out-
makes sense, right? Bob Dole's wife, Elizabeth Dole, used to be the president of the Red Cross. And not only are they extraordinarily liberal, but she brought in benefits for homosexual spouse partners of employees.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, okay, so they go ahead.
In the safe
Planned
sex
Parenthood,
packets,
Red Cross.
They handed out these safe sex packets to anyone who would want them. We had, it was a youth.
Except for kids.
No. We sent 2 14-year-old girls who were part of our group to a Red Cross tent just to say hi. Unsolicited, the Red Cross volunteers there said, would you two girls like a safe sex pack?
And how old were they?
They were both 14 years old.
Unbelievable, huh?
So we went to the mayor's office to complain.
Look at the emails, the instant messages, Jason, I'm getting. Especially kids. One person wrote in bold, big letters. Someone else, awesome. Are the Olympic protest pictures going to be available at KGov?
Well,
do you have any photos we can show?
Or? What I did is I took a video, and I'm hoping to send that into Life Dynamics, which is out of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And they do a monthly pro-life talk show that they send out to hundreds, if not thousands, of pro-lifers around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping to show that video there.
Great.
And I have just hours and hours of great footage, and it's impossible to relay all the stories that we had.
But you're going
to
edit something together, and maybe we could post it on KGov.
Exactly. That's what I was hoping. Right. And we maybe pull some stills from that just so people don't have to download video if they have a slow connection. But it was just a fabulous time. So we went to the mayor's office to get a meeting with him, and the secretary shows us into the conference room and says, well, just wait here. I'll get the chief of staff. And the chief of staff comes in and says, well, the mayor is very busy. It's the Olympic week. We can't give you any time. And Pat Mahoney, who is a
pro-life activist from back east.
Exactly. He said, well, we're not leaving this conference room until we have an appointment sometime before Tuesday with with the mayor.
And we're not leaving.
And of course, and so the chief of staff is, he runs off. Well, what had happened was the president was in town that day as well. And the president and the governor of Utah, as well as the mayor of Salt Lake City, were having a press conference. Well, the mayor of Salt Lake City got pushed to the back of the room and he felt slighted. So he left the press conference. He didn't want to be part of it. So he shows up back at his office and we're all sitting there in the conference room right outside his office.
That's pretty cool.
And one of the pro-lifers.
He's got to be a Mormon. Of course he's a Mormon.
Well, he's a former ACLU attorney.
Oh.
So I don't know what that means.
But he's got to be a Mormon.
He
be the mayor
be.
Of Salt Lake City.
But so anyway,
he's got to be.
One of the pro-lifers jumped up and said, "Mr. Mayor, we're glad to see you. We'd just like 5 minutes of your time." And the mayor told us why he was there.
Oh,
and
he did?
And he said, yeah.
He got dissed in the press conference.
He actually said, "I was dissed at the press conference."
He said that?
Yeah.
That's funny.
And he came back, and then he went into his office, stunned to see us in his conference room.
I guess
the chief of staff comes back out just after that and says, "Well, the mayor had to come back for an emergency, so he'll be unable to talk to you." And Pat Mahoney...
Back for an emergency.
He's back for
an emergency. And you already knew what the emergency was.
Exactly.
He was dissed.
So Pat Mahoney called him on it and said, "We already know why he's here. Don't lie to us. We want 5 minutes of his time right now. We know he can afford it because he was supposed to be at this press conference, and he's back early. We just want 5 minutes of his time." So they go back and talk about it, and we sit there, and we actually have members of the press in the room with us for more pressure because NBC can only... They were the only ones allowed to show Olympic events, so all the other networks were showing.
What are they going
to
do?
Protest.
Protesters.
So they were following us around
Peter,
the whole time.
Ken and Joe and Jason Troyer.
So anyway, we wait, and then the mayor finally comes out, and we talk to him, and it doesn't resolve anything, but we have a chance to speak to him, and we say it's reprehensible that you are helping to sponsor giving out these safe sex packs, and you're hurting your citizens, and you're hurting the guests in your city, and there's nothing in there about chastity, and that condoms don't prevent certain STDs, and we gave him statistics, and he couldn't have cared less. But at least we had the opportunity to stand in his face and tell him that there are people who care, and that there are people who care about chastity.
Right.
After that, we went to the Red Cross. We protested them.
Good for you guys.
We just had an absolute great time.
A great time. Now, Jason, many Christians would be horrified to think of going to a protest. You're saying you had a good time.
Absolutely. We had one woman who... Ken and Joe had met at Wichita. They had a nationwide pro-life event in Wichita this summer, and a woman was protesting there for the first time, and her hands were just shaking, and Joe went up to her and said, "Can I help you with anything?" And she says, "I'm terrified. I don't know what to do." And she said, "Well, you're doing fine." That woman and her husband were both there in Salt Lake City. And it was just a matter of putting their feet in the water, seeing how it was, and learning the rules.
And whatever city people are listening in, they could go this Saturday to their local Planned Parenthood.
That's right. You just look up abortion
in the yellow pages. You find out where, and it's on page 1, find out where they're killing babies Saturday, and go there for an hour.
And you stand on a public sidewalk with a sign that says, "Don't kill kids, abortion is murder," anything like that.
Whatever.
And you're there to help them. And we talked to so many people. We had one 14-year-old girl who was going into Utah Women's Center. We talked her into going to a crisis pregnancy center because there were Christians there willing to give up their time to help that woman out.
Wow, praise the Lord. So many babies have been saved in Denver from the pro-lifers there, Jason, you and others, and around the country. And praise the Lord, and we keep encouraging more people to go. But, you know, maybe some presuppositionals will say, "Well, there's no sense in doing that if they already have their minds made up."
That's right. Well, I just want to tell you one thing. We were there for 5 days, and we estimated that 100,000 people saw us each and every day.
Wow.
That's 500,000 people saw us at different times during the day just with that vehicle.
Praise the Lord, Jason. Thanks for being faithful and being out there. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.